Imagine a small city in the heart of the ancient world, a place known mostly for its merchants and traders. This city, called Asshur, was located on the Great Tigris River in what is now modern Iraq. For a long time, it was just one city among many, often ruled by more powerful neighbors. The early Assyrians were businessmen, not warriors. We know this from thousands of ancient clay tablets discovered far away in Turkey. These tablets, written in a wedge-shaped script called cuneiform, were like the business emails of their day. They recorded trade deals, arguments over prices, and the long journeys of donkey caravans carrying tin and textiles. This was the old Assyrian period, a time of commerce, not conquest. But something changed. Over hundreds of years, this city of traders transformed into one of the most feared and powerful empires the world had ever seen. It grew to control a vast area, from the mountains of Iran to the shores of Egypt. This new empire, the Neo-Assyrian Empire, was not built on trade deals, but on the strength of its armies and the brilliance of its leaders. How did this happen? It is a story about technology, organization, and a very clear idea of how to build and control an empire. The heart of Assyrian power was its military. Think of it as a well-oiled machine, designed for one purpose: conquest. One of their biggest advantages was a metal, iron. Before the Assyrians, armies fought with weapons made of bronze. Bronze is strong, but the materials needed to make it were not always easy to find. Iron, however, was much more common. The Assyrians learned how to heat and hammer iron ore to create strong, sharp weapons. This meant they could produce swords, daggers, and arrowheads in huge numbers. They could equip a much larger army than their enemies, giving them a powerful edge on the battlefield. But weapons are only useful in the hands of good soldiers. The Assyrian army was not just a crowd of farmers called to fight. It had a corps of professional soldiers, men whose only job was to train and go to war. They were paid and equipped by the state. This professional army was also incredibly organized. The Assyrians mastered what we call combined arms tactics. This means using different types of soldiers together to create a stronger force. They had massive groups of infantry, who were the foot soldiers. Some were archers who could shoot arrows from a distance, protected by a partner holding a huge shield. Others were spearmen, forming solid walls of deadly points. Then there was the cavalry. The Assyrians were among the first to use soldiers on horseback effectively. These cavalry units were fast and could quickly move around the enemy to attack from the side or behind. They were the eyes and ears of the army and its swift, deadly fist. Perhaps the most famous part of the Assyrian army was its ability to attack walled cities. In the ancient world, a high, thick wall was the best defense. Many armies would simply surround a city and wait for the people inside to run out of food. Not the Assyrians. They were masters of siege warfare, the art of breaking into a fortified place. They invented special machines and techniques. They would build huge earthen ramps to reach the top of the enemy's walls. They used giant, heavy logs called battering rams, often covered in wet leather to protect them from fire, to smash city gates. They even had soldiers called sappers who would dig tunnels under the walls to make them collapse. Imagine seeing a giant wooden tower on wheels rolling towards your city, with Assyrian archers shooting down at you from the top. For the people inside a city, the sight of the Assyrian army arriving must have been terrifying. This powerful army was not just for show. A series of ambitious and ruthless kings used it to expand their empire. One of the first great conquerors was a king named Ashurnasirpal Roman II. He set the pattern for how the Assyrians would rule. He would lead his army into new lands, and he made sure everyone knew how brutal he could be. His palace walls were covered in stone carvings showing his victories. These carvings, or reliefs, show Assyrian soldiers destroying cities and punishing enemies in horrible ways. This was a form of psychological warfare. The goal was to create so much fear that other cities would surrender without a fight. At the same time, Ashurnasirpal Roman II built a magnificent new capital city called Kalhu, filling it with treasure from his conquests. Later, a king named Tiglath-Pileser Roman III came to power. He was the true architect of the Assyrian Empire. He was not just a conqueror, he was an organizer. He understood that to control a large empire, you needed more than just fear. He reformed the army to make it even more professional. More importantly, he changed how the empire was governed. Before him, conquered kings were often allowed to keep their thrones as long as they paid money or tribute to Assyria. But these kings often rebelled. Tiglath-Pileser Roman III replaced them with Assyrian governors. A governor is an official sent from the capital to rule a territory called a province. This meant that the conquered lands were now directly controlled by Assyria, making the empire more stable and the collection of taxes more efficient. The empire reached its peak under kings like Sennacherib and Ashurbanipal. Sennacherib moved the capital to the legendary city of Nineveh, turning it into the largest city in the world at that time. He is famous for his siege of Jerusalem, an event described in both Assyrian records and the Bible. Though he failed to capture the city, he forced it to pay a heavy tribute. His grandson, Ashurbanipal, was the last great king of Assyria. He was a fierce warrior who defeated powerful enemies, but he was also a scholar. He created a massive library in Nineveh, collecting tens of thousands of clay tablets from all over Mesopotamia. He preserved ancient stories like the Epic of Gilgamesh, as well as historical records, religious texts, and scientific knowledge. Much of what we know about this ancient world we owe to his library. Conquering land is one thing, controlling it is another. The Assyrians developed clever, and often cruel, methods to manage their diverse empire. Their most famous policy was mass deportation. When they conquered a rebellious city or region, they would force tens of thousands of people to leave their homes. These people would be marched across the empire to a new, unfamiliar land. This had several purposes. First, it broke the spirit of the conquered people and shattered their local loyalties, making it harder for them to organize another rebellion. Second, it was a way to move skilled workers, like carpenters or farmers, to parts of the empire where they were needed. Finally, it mixed different groups of people together, making it difficult for any single group to unite against Assyrian rule. It was like the Assyrian king was playing with a giant map, moving populations around like pieces on a board to strengthen his control. The famous 10 lost tribes of Israel were a product of this policy, deported by the Assyrians after their kingdom was conquered. The Assyrians also encouraged a process of cultural blending, sometimes called Assyrianization. They did not usually force people to worship the Assyrian god, Ashur. However, they did promote a common culture to help unify the empire. One of the most important tools for this was language. While the Assyrians wrote in their own complex cuneiform script, they recognized that a simpler language, Aramaic, was easier for trade and government. Aramaic used an alphabet and was much quicker to write on papyrus or leather. Over time, Aramaic became the common language, or lingua franca, of the entire empire, spoken by officials, merchants, and even many Assyrians themselves. Art and architecture were also tools of control. The grand palaces in cities like Nineveh were not just homes for the king. They were statements of power. Foreign visitors or leaders from conquered lands would be led through long halls lined with stone reliefs showing Assyrian military victories and the king's power. The message was clear: Assyria is mighty, and its king is the master of the world. But even the mightiest empires can fall. By the late 7th century BCE, the Assyrian Empire was in trouble. It had become too big. Constant wars were expensive and cost the lives of many soldiers. The empire was stretched thin, and it was difficult to defend all its borders. At the same time, different factions within the Assyrian royal family began fighting each other for power, weakening the empire from within. This was the moment their enemies had been waiting for. Two powerful groups, the Medes from the mountains of Iran and the Babylonians from the south, joined together. They attacked Assyria, and in the year 612 BCE, they did the unthinkable. They captured and destroyed the great capital of Nineveh. The fall of the Assyrian Empire was swift and violent. Though the empire was destroyed, its legacy lived on. The Assyrians created a blueprint for how to run an empire. Their system of provinces and governors, their network of roads for messengers and armies, and their methods of control were studied and copied by later empires, including the Persians, who would build an even larger empire in their place. Their military innovations changed warfare forever, and thanks to the library of King Ashurbanipal, a priceless treasure of knowledge from the ancient world was saved from being lost to time. The Assyrians are often remembered for their brutality, and their own art confirms this reputation. But historians also point out that their vast empire, for a time, brought a kind of forced stability to a region that was often in chaos. They were complex, a people of brutal warriors, brilliant engineers, and careful librarians, whose impact is still felt thousands of years later. To summarize, the Assyrian Empire rose from a small trading city to become a military superpower in the ancient Near East. Their success was built on iron weapons and a highly organized, professional army that mastered siege warfare. Through ambitious kings like Tiglath-Pileser Roman III, they created a vast empire controlled by a system of provinces and governors. They used brutal tactics and mass deportations to crush resistance and manage their diverse populations. Despite their reputation for cruelty, they were also skilled administrators and builders, and their legacy includes important innovations in imperial governance and the preservation of ancient Mesopotamian culture in Ashurbanipal's Great Library. Their sudden collapse shows that even the most powerful empires can be brought down by internal weakness and new external threats.